Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special here this morning. What a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord. It's just tremendous how God has worked through our music services here and congregational singing and then the specials. We just thank Him for it. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 10, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 7. 2 Samuel chapter 10. And if you would, stand with me and we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The book of 2 Samuel chapter 10. Verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun, their lord, Thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? Wherefore Hanun took David's servants and shaved off the one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle even to their buttocks and sent them away. And when they told it unto David, he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, Tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown. And they returned. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth-Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of King Maacah, 1,000 men, and of Ishtob, 12,000 men. When David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, what a blessing it's already been just being in church, sensing your presence here. Now, Father, as we have read this passage of Scripture, there's no doubt that you have a message for us through this event in the life of David. I just pray, God, that you'd help each and every one here to open up their hearts and their minds to receive what you have for them individually. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Here in the life of David in 2 Samuel, if you look back to chapter 8 and verse 14 and 15, the Bible says, "And he put garrisons in Edom, throughout Edom put he garrisons, and all they of Edom became David's servants, and the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice unto all his people." As we study the life of David and what a blessing it is, we have it recorded by God for us to read and study and learn biblical truths and principles and be blessed by it. David, at this particular time, is experiencing great blessings. David is fully established now as the king of Israel. And he is ruling the land. There is not a greater army than the army of Israel. Even David's sons were involved in helping David rule the land. Verse 18, it says this in chapter 8, "And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over both the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and David's sons were chief rulers." As a man, you couldn't ask for any more. I mean, praise God, David is now established, and we find that all other nations are bowing down to David and Israel. They're acknowledging his great power and his great armies, and what a blessing it is in the life of Israel, in the life of David at this particular time. And so with this, we find chapters 9 and chapter 10, David seeks to show kindness. Now, I truly believe that Thanksgiving is associated with kindness. You see, if you're thankful, you will show kindness. Amen. To somebody that is unkind and somebody that is looking to just be hard on everyone around them, there's something wrong. There's misery in that person's life. They are not thankful. They are not pleased with the way things are going in their own life. But we find here that David had a heart. It was a man after God's own heart. And in chapter 9, if you look there with me, and David was not a hard-hearted, cruel, greedy, self-seeking, bloodthirsty king. That was not David. Now, at that particular time, most of the kings were that way. Most of the kings in that area, in that time of dispensation of time, that's how they got to the place that they were. But David was not so. Even though, as we think of David and Goliath, which actually vaulted David into being the king of Israel, we find that we have this visual of David cutting off the head of Goliath. He wasn't very kind to Goliath. I mean, I just have that visual. David being a young teenager, and yet God empowered him, and he would grow into a mighty warrior. At this time, though, he was just a young teenager, and he was able to defeat Goliath, and he went on top of Goliath and took Goliath's sword, which was probably as big as he was, and he chops off his head, and then he takes the head of Goliath with him. Now, that's something that we have a visual of David, and we think, wow, that was not very kind. But war and judgment are not pretty, but they're necessary. We wouldn't be where we're at today if we had not fought battles as the United States of America. Battles to assure our freedom. We find the children of Israel having to fight battles to be able to represent God to the world, to be able to establish a kingdom by which they could reveal the God, the only true God of humanity. So there was no doubt battles. War and judgment are not pretty, but necessary. David was a mighty man of war out of necessity. But now we get to look into the heart of David. This is a view that God gives us to help us understand that he was a man after God's own heart. His true heart is to be kind. His true heart's desire is revealed. In chapter 9 and verse 3, the Bible says here, "And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul?" Now, Saul was out to kill David. Saul was made David's life miserable. "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God?" I've got that underlined. David was not being kind out of his own heart. David's revealing to us why God says he was a man after God's own heart, because he knew that God's heart was that of kindness. And David now has this opportunity to be able to show the kindness of God. "And Ziba said unto King Jonathan, had yet a son which is lame on his feet." David knew of the heart of God. Now that David had the opportunities, he wanted just to reveal his heart. And the Bible says in verse 7 of chapter 9, "And David said unto him, Mephibosheth," because most of the kings would kill any of the descendants of anyone that have a chance of taking over the kingdom, especially of a previous king. But that was not the heart of God, and neither was it the heart of David. "And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore all thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." He finds Mephibosheth a cripple, and David restores everything to him, and he's wanting to show him the kindness of God. And one of the things that David does to this cripple, he says, "You're welcome at my table. There's a place set." Can I tell you, that's the heart of God. That's what Jesus presented to humanity. That God loves you. He wants to show kindness. He wants to forgive and cleanse you of all your sin. And he wants to invite you to come and dine. You have a place at the table of an almighty God who wants you to come. You have an open invitation. You have a place preserved for you. And if you just receive the kindness of God, then you have a place at his table. Wow. And we look at ourselves in comparison to who God is and his holiness and his righteousness, and we say, there's no way, surely not. But it's the heart of God to show kindness. And then in chapter 10, we find that David is still opportunity. He wants to just show the kindness of God. Verse 1 and 2, "And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanan his son reigned in his sight. Then said David, I will show kindness." And it was sincere, it was genuine. "I will show kindness unto Hanan the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me." And we look in the life of David, and this man had an impact in his life, and God used this man to be an encouragement to David at some time. And David says, now that's in my heart, I want to genuinely show the very same kindness that was shown me. David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. He hears of the death of King Nahash, whom he had shown David kindness. And David says, I want to show him kindness. Can I tell you that God's heart, listen to me, God's heart is to show kindness. In Psalms chapter 31, we have to establish this. And of course, there's so much. You look and you study the heart of God and the ways of God, and you find that he is a kind God, a loving God, who would rather show mercy than judgment. And the psalmist here writes in Psalms chapter 31, and he says in Psalms chapter 31 in verse 19, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee." You fear God, you honor God, and he wants to be good to you. He wants to bless you. "Which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." You're looking to help other people to see the love and the ways of God. "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city." When you understand what God really wants for his children, what God wants for those that would serve him, you would find that this is the heart of God, and that is to be kind, to bless, to strengthen, to restore. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. God's kindness is marvelous. In Psalms chapter 117, if I go too fast, just write this down, but there's only two verses in Psalms 117, so we're going to read the whole chapter here, the whole psalm. But it says this, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his..." The number one thing that we are to praise God for all nations and all people, his merciful kindness. would rather show mercy than judgment. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. If you know the heart of God, and it is to show kindness, then believers ought to desire to show others an example of the kindness of God and show others kindness. That's what David's doing. Now, there's a time, and David, out of necessity, was a mighty man of war. And David had to fight wars, and war and judgment are not pretty. But when he had the opportunity, now that things are a blessing in Israel, and he's not fighting a war at this time, and David has an opportunity to let his heart be seen. He wants the people to see not only his heart, but his heart is of the heart of God. And that is to show kindness to everyone that he could. And that's exactly what we are instructed to do in the New Testament. Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians in chapter 4, because God's heart has not changed. And if we're a people after God's own heart, then we ought to have a heart of a desire to be kind, to show that kindness. Ephesians in chapter 4, as Paul we write to the church of Ephesus, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. This is the things we have to do if we're not going to grieve God. This is the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us to help us to represent God the way he wants to be represented. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Those things, if you yield to the Spirit of God, he will have you to put those things out of your heart and your mind. That is not representation of Christ. That should not be the heart of a believer. Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. But he says, and be ye kind. God gives us commandments for our own blessings. As you find a commandment of God, I guarantee you, if you submit to that commandment of God, there is a blessing that is associated with whatever commandment of God that you submit yourself to. And there's something that God will bless you with that you can't find anywhere else than just simply obeying this commandment and looking to be kind. When you really have the heart of God and you want to show others the heart of God and you submit yourself to this being kind, you submit yourself to this command that God tells us and gives us, be ye kind. When you actually start letting God flow through you, letting the Holy Spirit of God empower you and give you that which you need to be kind, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, you find that as you have submitted to an act of kindness, it will do something for you that you'll not be able to receive anywhere else. An act of kindness. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We do this because this is revelation that God wants the humanity to have concerning the heartbeat of God. Yeah. Be ye kind. The Colossians, over a couple chapters here, we looked at the book of Colossians in chapter 3, and this is what the Bible says. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. The elect of God are those that have been saved. You have received, and you have, by God's way of salvation, you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The plan of salvation is what God has established. And God has established anyone and everyone who would just simply do what God says you must do to be saved, then you can be saved. And because you have trusted in Jesus Christ and you are the elect of God, he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, those children of God, the saved upon this earth, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ, the example of Jesus Christ, revealing to us the very heart of God, forgave you, so also do ye. But did you notice there, these are the characteristics of God. But he said in verse 12, the very first thing to these is put on. It's not from our nature. It's not part of who we are outside of God. The other kings would have never done what David did to Mephibosheth. They would have never showed, it would have been a sign of weakness to most other kings of the lands. But David wanted people to see the heart of God, the kindness of his God. He wanted to show the kindness of his God to humanity. Yeah. So we likewise need to put on, or we will not. Every day when you get ready to go out into the world, face what you're going to face. This is not a world that's easy to be kind and show kindness. But it's something that God says, that's why I got you there. That's something that you have to offer to all humanity, is the heart of God. And we ought to look at the heart of God and what he's done for us and say, I am going to put it on, and to the best of my ability, with the help of God, I am going to live a life of kindness. I'm going to try to respond in a way of kindness. I'm going to try to look to see what I can do to represent Christ and being kind to others. Now, if you're not thinking about that, that is not going to come into your heart and mind all at one time. You have to think about it. You have to put it on. And you have to ask God to help you to be what he wants you to be. Something that you might not be on your own, that you would not be on your own, but you say, I'm so thankful that God loved me. I'm so thankful that God has blessed me. Oh, how I want to show that to others. And be ye kind. David sent ambassadors to represent him because David was genuine. He wanted them to see his kindness. Our marching orders as Christians is to represent the love and the kindness of God to the world. And doing this, it brings the support of God to us. Colossians in chapter 3, after he says, therefore, bearing one another, forgiving one another, for every man, for if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Verse 15, he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. There's something about that when you are looking to live for the Lord and you are looking to represent the love of God and the kindness of God, then God, you are actually bringing to your life the support of God upon your life, because God wants that kind of a testimony going out there into the world to represent him. Yeah. But the world will not always appreciate your kindness. Everyone here can probably reveal a story. I've tried that, and it didn't work. People took advantage of me. They walked all over me. And does that negate the command of God? Not at all. Not at all. If you look here, and that's why I chose this chapter 10, because we find here that it's reality that the world is not going to always accept your kindness, not going to accept your trying to help them with the truth. Kindness is looking to be a blessing to somebody to help them with the truth. The world doesn't always want our truth, even though it's what they need. And it will eventually help them, but they'll reject it. David's ambassadors were sent and were shamefully mistreated. There's no greater humility could have been shown them. I mean, this idea of humiliation could have been inflicted. No greater humiliation could have been inflicted upon these two ambassadors. Now, we won't go into all that and what it meant at that particular time, but it was to show humiliation. But the humiliation was not against the ambassadors, it was against who sent them, who they represented. Those who reject Christ, can I tell you, will persecute us. David's kindness to give comfort was genuine. Now listen to me. David had an established now one of the greatest army. And David wanted to send comfort to this new king, and he was going to tell them, you can have the peace. I'm going to make an alliance with you. You can be aligned with the most powerful nation on earth. And it'll give you peace, not have to worry about any other invaders. It'll give you peace about not having to worry about any other enemies because you have the support of Israel. That's what was offered them. That was David's desire, was to give them what they would need in order to be able to not have any fears, to have a peace, the pass of all understanding, to be comforted in the death of his father, thinking this is a time when most nations would be weak and vulnerable and other nations would take advantage of them and come in. And David says, I want you to know, make an alliance with you, and you can have my support. You can have our help. That's what he was offering. And they were rejected. They were rejected because of bad counsel. They were rejected because they didn't believe it. And because of their rejection, they humiliated David's servants. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, Jesus addresses this. In John chapter 15 and verse 18, Jesus came to show the love and kindness of God. Come to offer humanity everlasting eternal life. Come to offer humanity forgiveness of sins. I mean, come to offer them heaven. Who would not want that unless they were blinded to it? Unless they were listening to the wrong voice, that there is no God, there is no heaven. If the world hates you, verse 18, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. so Jesus knew that going into it, but did that keep him from showing the kindness of God? Even though that the world would reject that and end up crucifying him? What an example to look to. See, no matter what, how people respond to the kindness that God wants you to show them, listen to me, it's what they have need of, whether they respond to it in the right way or not. That should not dictate whether we show them kindness, whether we show them God's love, whether we show them forgiveness, whatever it might be. We are here to represent the heart of God. Even though not everyone's going to receive it, there will be some. And praise the Lord for that. And all will have a testimony against them who reject it. Down to chapter 16 of John. We're almost done, so follow with me here. Follow with me here as we kind of bring this all together. In verse 16, he says this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." I want you to go, and I don't want you to be offended by those who reject your truth, who reject your love, who reject your kindness. So understand that not everyone's going to understand your kindness. They're not going to understand how, why you responded the way that you're responding to them. And they're going to have different thoughts concerning that. And Satan's going to fill their heart and mind, and he's going to pollute the truth of God. Shouldn't stop us from standing where God wants us to stand and trying to help people with the truth and really show them the kindness that God wants us to show them. So he says, "Ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father, nor me." See, they need to witness our kindness even when we're being mistreated. Jesus on the cross, they put him on the cross. They were spitting on him and mocking him because of their blindness. They were blinded to who he was. They were blinded to what he offered them. And because of their blindness, they did what they did. He understanding that, knowing that they needed to see his love and kindness toward them, no matter how they responded to him, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That would prick the hearts of those people like nothing else could prick the hearts of the people, because they did not return evil for evil. He never returned evil for evil, but he returned good for evil. He overcame evil with good and established a testimony that God wanted established, one of love, one of kindness. In Acts in chapter 16, we have a story here of Paul being mistreated and cast into the inner parts of the prison. And the prison guard here was one of them that took him and was as mean to Paul as he could be. The Bible says in verse 24 of chapter 16, "And whom having received such a charge, thrust him into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks." This prison guard, blinded to who Paul was and who the disciples were, he put them into the deepest part, the inner part of the city, I mean the prison, the coldest and the worst part, shackled their feet. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prisoner doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. And if we would allow the human nature to allow us, if Paul would have, he had said, "Yeah, you deserve it. Kill yourself. You were mean to me, and so, yeah, go ahead. Take that sword and put it through your heart. Die. That's the human nature. Paul was to represent the heart of God. Then he called, and Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." He knew that this man was troubled. He knew that this man thought that his life was over and it would even impact his family's life. And he said, "No, I want to show you the kindness and the love and the forgiveness of God." And brought them out and said, the same prison guard. He said, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" See, the world needs that. And the conviction in their heart, even though they might not relay it to you at the time, as this man did, they see something that they have no answer for. They see something they cannot fully understand. How could you love me after I have done this to you? How can you show me kindness when I was not kind to you? The Spirit of God uses that, pricks their heart. And then inside they say, "I need to have what you have. I don't have that." And it's the heart of God. The heart of God comes by way of the Son of God when you receive Him as your personal Lord and Savior. And when you understand that, you put Him on every day. And you go out into this world and you want to make a difference. And can I tell you the best way that we can all make a difference is determined to be ye kind. No matter what and how they treat you, be ye kind. Turn it over to God. Romans chapter 12, and we're done. Romans chapter 12. Hanan listened to the wrong voices. Because of that, he responded in a way that brought the judgment of David upon his life. He could have had this alliance, but he listened to the wrong counselors. He listened to the wrong intelligence. He listened to the wrong voice. And he shamefully mistreated David's servants, which was an act of violence against David. He thought he could buy his way and have a big enough army to withstand the armies of Israel. And he went out and got every soldier that money could buy. But he didn't have the hand of God upon his life like David. David sent Joab and utterly defeated all of those other soldiers and men. When he could have had an alliance, but he listened to the wrong voice. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. This is what God says. "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Be truthful." No matter how they respond, you are to represent God in His Word. And what they need, they don't understand that they need it, but they need to know about it before they can ever apply it. You have to give them truth. "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' saith the Lord." Now that's something that we should not desire. That should not be a motive, thinking that as I return good for evil, God's going to, as he says in verse 20, "Therefore if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." Listen to me, that's not the motive, but that is to be known. That you're turning them over for God, and God will deal with them as only God can justly deal with all people. The key is, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. God will avenge his own. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 13, whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. We should never get discouraged in looking to show the kindness of God to others. As we have opportunity, let us show others the kindness that represents the heart of God. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. We are God's ambassadors. We really are Christians. And if you're going to have the blessings of God, if you're going to have the support of God, then we need to represent him as he wants to be represented, no matter how it is received. How it's received should not determine whether I show kindness or not. Serving the Lord, representing him, is the motive behind showing the kindness of God to others. Don't know exactly how God would apply this to your life. Can I tell you, I know this is a message I was to preach. God knew who was going to be here, knew what was going on in each one of our lives. This might be the turning point. This could be the turning point for God's blessings on our lives, for God's peace to return to my life. Submit yourself and commit every day to showing the kindness of God to others. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us. Thank you for this truth, and even in David as this king of Israel, and yet as he had this opportunity, he wanted to show the kindness of God to others. Help us to learn from it and do likewise. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.